In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I will read from the Old Testament, the book of Jonah, from chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God, and proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. And God saw that they turned from their evil way, and repented of evil. And he repented, God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord, and said, I pray thee, And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then said the Lord, dost thou well to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth, and sat under it in the shadow, till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd, and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head, to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd, that it withered. And it came to pass, when the sun did rise, that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted, and wished in himself to die, and said, It is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, Dost thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Then said the Lord, Thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night, and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle. Amen. God forgives, but Jonah did not. Is it sometimes difficult for us to forgive? The theme for this week is be gracious, forgive. This book of Jonah is one of the 12 small prophets. And this book of Jonah relates of the life of one person. And it is different from the other prophetical books because there isn't a prophetical message in it. Contains the prophecy for the city of Nineveh. And with that short sermon, that sermon of Jonah was very successful. 120,000 people regretted their acts and they turned. Has there any other messenger of God had such a great success? But despite of this, Jonah became angry. This book of Jonah is easy to read. It's short. But many questions come to mind reading this book. I was keeping a confirmation class this summer, and I gave the confirmation children this task to read this book of Jonah, and I gave them questions to answer. And with the help of these questions, I have been able to prepare my text. It is good to make questions, but it is even better to receive answers to the questions. In the time of Jonah, the world was centered around Israel. There was Israel and the rest of the world, the godly and the ungodly. That is how many Israelites thought in that time, that here in Israel there is light, but outside there is much darkness. God doesn't even live there and is not able to affect there. On one hand, it was true. There were great nations who had given up God and they worshipped other gods. And this world that had given up God gave room for evil and for the wickedness of man. And so wickedness and evil increased, and God became impatient. He had planned to destroy Nineveh, but God gave them one chance. And a prophet of the word was needed. And God chose Jonah. This task did not please Jonah. Jonah fled. He thought that he would go into a place where he would go in the opposite direction to Tarshish. But God followed his journey and he arranged a trial for Jonah. He made a storm arise so that Jonah, in the end, had to confess what the reason for that storm was. So Jonah suggested that they should throw him into the sea. But the sea did not become his grave. But it became a trial of 3 days and three nights. The confirmation students asked, what could that fish have been that swallowed Jonah? It probably isn't such a miracle. Perhaps some large shark would be able to swallow Jonah. But that was a miracle, that he did not die in that side that fish where there was no oxygen. God gave Jonah a new chance. It was the love of God, love toward Jonah, but it was also love towards the people who lived in Nineveh. God's task had not been finished or fulfilled. So that Jonah humbled, became obedient, and went to Nineveh and proclaimed the gospel of repentance to them. The people there accepted this word. It awakened the people. They felt their sins. This is how the word can affect people. How many times in this services the word has been accepted and it has caused people to feel their sin and become penitent. And it has caused them to long for the grace of God. All in Nineveh were penitent, and they put on sackcloth and they sprinkled ashes on themselves. They were penitent as Job was, in dust and ashes. It is the correct way to show penitence when we feel ourselves to be sinful. The fault is our dust and ashes, our old portion that will never repent, and that which will never get any better. Jonah thought that the people of Nineveh should have been punished. They deserved it. the neighboring nation of Israel, Syria, had overthrown other nations and people. But the Israelites lived satisfied in themselves, as if in a beam of light, and they waited for the day of the Lord. Prophet Amos, who was working during the same time, was prophesying the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord, when the enemy will be destroyed. And at the same time, Israel would be lifted up above all nations. This is not the purpose of the people of God, to rise above other people. But we need to be on the same level as others, along with them. To Jonah, this task felt ironical, that the sermon of repentance should be preached to the enemy. My confirmation students also asked, what is the prophetical meaning or the this was a parable and what was as a parable what was the meaning of this text? This prophet Jonah was given a task, as each one of us have been given the same task. We can each bring forth this word and the gospel. This happening with all its phases had to happen so that this important message could be. This happened so that Jesus could also use this happening. When the Pharisees asked him for a sign, he gave them the sign of Jonah. As Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and 3 nights, it was as if he was in hell, just as Jesus had to go down into hell, then, and damnation. As Jonah came out of the belly of the fish, Jesus also arose from the death. Dear friend, listener of the word, are you fleeing? Have you received a task which frightens you, distresses you, or a task which maybe is a threat to your comfortable lifestyle? we each are given tasks. Sometimes they take up our free time. But it is good that we have the right mind and heart to accept these tasks and take care of them. And take that task as if God had given it. These are all tasks in which we serve others. Think of how much these services have, how many tasks have had to be done in order for these services to come about. Dear listener, dear friend, have you received a call? A call which you flee from. A call into the kingdom of God. When a person is in the hearing of the word, it is as if he is in the light. And if there is something in our hearts which makes us restless, then you have a tendency to flee from the light and try to find a hiding place. Do we have a hiding place? Can we flee from God? We can flee from other people, but we cannot flee from God. Does this bother you, this type of thought? This thought of an all-knowing and all-seeing God? Isn't it the opposite? It is a knowledge that brings comfort. That there is someone who knows and sees and hears everything. There is someone who guides and bends, causes us to bend, as in the words of a song that is familiar to many confirmation students. We sang this song. Where could we flee? No place, and we do not need to. And the writer of the psalm says this in Psalm 139. Lord, you have examined me. You know me. Wherever I am and wherever I go, you know. And from afar, you know my intention. If I go or if I rest, you have measured all. You know everything that I do. There is not one word that you do not know. You protect me from ahead and from behind. You lay your hand upon me, and you know all. It is amazing. I cannot understand it. Where could I go? Where could I flee from before you? Even though I would arise into heaven, you are there. If I would make my bed in damnation, you are also there. Even though I would rise to fly or move behind the oceans, you are guiding me there. You are guiding me with your powerful hand. this psalm. Gives us a guarantee that wherever we may be, we are safe. It protects us on our journey home. It gives us a safe feeling if we go on a long journey across the ocean. Our angels are traveling with us and protecting us. This thought of an all-knowing and all-seeing God may remind us of our own parents. They always ask that, "Where are you? How are you doing? What have you done? Is everything okay?" During some age, it may feel irritating to a young person. But these questions show how the parents love their child. Jonah was in danger of his life, but at the same time in the palm of God's hand. We have surely many times asked, when we have seen all the evilness in the world, and when we follow the situation in Syria, what terrible things people can do to each other, and we think, if God could only do something, stop all that evil from happening, the mills of God, they grind slowly. They have their own schedule. And the evil receive their reward in time. We do not have to worry about that. Above all, God gives opportunities, gives new opportunities, and that time of visitation is especially this. It is sometimes given to whole nations, as it was given to Nineveh, but it can be given to individual persons. Do not go past your own time of awakening. Think of it seriously. Listen, when you hear the call of God today, do not harden your heart. Believe your sins forgiven. For the sake of Christ, in His name and atoning blood. God is the one who judges. We do not have to take care of that. God judges with grace and with truth. God forgives, but do we forgive? do we pardon? After all, we have a lot of power because we can hold the grace of God. If we do not forgive, then God will not forgive. Do we have any reason to hold that forgiveness? We can approach one who has fallen or is wrong. We can approach them with grace. Let us be gracious. Let us be slow to anger, but quick to pardon. Let us share this unconditional grace, and let us not share conditions without grace. We have been able to be under the grace sun for many days, and this same grace still shines in God's kingdom. We have surely noticed although we have received much strength for our faith, we have also experienced what grace brings, that sin destroys or eats. For that reason, I, one who has been called to be a servant and working partner, I want to share this grace and this forgiveness that cannot be measured. Believe all your sins and all your travel faults forgiven in Jesus' name and precious atoning blood. In Jesus' name and blood, all sins are forgiven. Be of a comforted mind. That which has been forgiven is not remembered, and so we remain making our journey in faith. My own heart also longs for this forgiveness and grace. Can I believe my own sins forgiven? I want to believe in this way with you. In Jesus' name, amen.